Hey, this is Josh Keaton, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
I am the Watcher. I am your guide through these vast new realities. Follow me and ponder the question. What if?
Hello and welcome to an all-new generation of Tooncast. This is our 235th episode, and I am one of your hosts, TF2 and Mike. Joining me is one of the BAM crew members. It's Allison Richards. Hello, how are you?
I am good. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing well-ish, I think. I don't know.
You're really just longing for your bed right now at this point.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
It's like, let's just rip Van Winkle this thing away.
Oh my gosh. So one of the exercises we had with the kids was like, what are you looking forward to this weekend? And like half of them are just like, sleep.
Yeah.
I'm like, you are too young to be feeling this.
Yes. I tell that to people who are 35 and I'm 41. So yeah. Yeah, so this is Tooncast, as I said, here on the Geekcast Radio Network, and it is once again time for us to engage in Superhero Saturdays. Over the next few weeks, we will be giving you our spoiler-filled discussions on Marvel Studios' new animated series, What If? So, Allison, let me ask you this. What if you never watched any cartoons in your life? Who would you be?
I would be a very dull person. I also probably would not have the interest in sci-fi fantasy that I have today.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, my love was G-Force, you know, the Gatchaman version. And then Voltron, you know, those were my big things, and I really can't imagine not sitting in front of the television on a Saturday morning with breakfast watching cartoons. I just can't imagine that. I'm a kid of the 80s.
Yep,
you know, that was what we did.
Yep. Yeah, I did it Saturday mornings. I did it Monday through Friday in the morning, like right before school. I would always get up early during the week because most of the cartoons that came on in the morning came on at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And I would have just enough time to maybe eke in the first half hour, because they usually ran like Transformers and then Gem or Mask or whatever. They used to have a back-to-back from 6 to 7. Mm-hmm. And I could only ever watch one whole episode. I was like, oh, need a VCR over here.
Gosh, I remember when I was in sixth grade, Captain Planet came on at like 4 in the afternoon, but I was still on the bus ride home. So yeah. I managed to set my VCR at that point, to record the episodes. And I had every Captain Planet episode on VHS tape. And I brought them to one of my science teachers when I was in seventh grade. And she was going to make copies and give them back to me. Never got them back.
Oh, that's evil.
Yep.
That's polluting the universe.
And only season one of Captain Planet is available on DVD.
That's
everything
true.
Else is just streaming only through different, you buy to stream. So
yeah, I actually had the season one DVD set years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually, I don't think this is correct. I'm probably misremembering this, but I swear it kind of smelled like pine. I could be wrong, but whatever. So tonight is episode 2 of Marvel's What If's first season, and it is all about what if T'Challa became Star-Lord.
Yes, well, let's first please give a moment for Chadwick and his
Absolutely.
Amazing performance. Okay.
It always hurts me when I see things after people have passed away.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot, like, we had, Karen and I watched, I've watched Jeopardy my whole life, ever since I was 4 years old when the show debuted. Mm-hmm. Although I don't remember, you know, 1984 that well. But, and I dropped off here and there, but it was always a, you know, staple that you always knew Alex was going to be there.
Yeah.
And then, sadly, he passed away. because that's what we're all going to do eventually anyway, sadly. And we had had about 10 episodes backed up on our DVR of Jeopardy's we hadn't watched yet that were with him. And I told her, I said, I can't watch these. I will cry every single time because he's not here anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, they also stream Jeopardy on Netflix.
Yep. The old episodes.
Yep.
All right.
You know, I kind of just get this like feeling in my heart, you know, hoping that for, especially with him, you know, he put so much into that role, into all his roles, but he really embodied and made T'Challa who T'Challa is.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, because your friend murdered my father, I also wear the mantle of king. So I ask you, as both warrior and king, how long do you think you can keep your friend safe from me?
I'm kind of glad that the MCU is not going to recast him and they're going to just figure out a plot to move forward with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the best thing to do.
Yeah, because, you know, there's no one who could replace him in that.
Mm-mm.
You know?
Not at all.
And what'll be nice is that he also, these projects that he worked on are going to, a lot of them are going to stand the test of time and be inspiration for generations. So I am glad he got to be involved in the MCU and to embody such an amazing character. So
yeah, absolutely.
And I'm glad that I lived in a time, you know, where I would be able to have seen it and, you know, have had the opportunity if it was available to actually have met him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just between his death and Ledger's death years ago. And
yeah,
it's just, We've lost so many great people, and we've lost so many people now because of COVID, obviously. Yeah, Chadwick was awesome. Every interview I ever saw with him, just complete gentleman, somebody who was always looking out for everybody else, and just very, very awesome. So it was really interesting to see what they did with him here, and having him, obviously, this be his last role as T'Challa.
So,
oh boy. This one was crazy. It's like combining the Guardians of the Galaxy with Black Panther.
I have to say, I loved every second of it.
Yeah, I did too.
I mean, he had a fanboy.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, you only saw that character for like, what, the 2 minutes in the movie, and having him actually become like the audience stand-in person almost. There's just like, I'm like, yeah, I see what you did there and I love it.
Yeah, it's so good.
Who are you? Identify yourself.
Who, me? I am just an ordinary junker. But there is one name you may know me by.
Star-Lord! I'm a huge fan of your work. What are you doing here?
That was not the reaction I was expecting.
I love how in this episode that the intro slightly changes with how the Watcher does the narration. I thought that was really, really cool. I thought that was interesting. I loved how we don't even see, at least until the end, we don't even see Peter Quill at all. This is basically what if Yondu, or because he subcontracted the job to two flunkies, what if they grabbed the wrong guy? And apparently they think all humans look alike. They have ear holes, they have nose holes, they have a mouth hole.
Well, you know what?
Yikes.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised, because we say the same thing about every other people who aren't white, you know, that, you know, and it's not true. And, you know, it's, I love how they use it to throw it back and remind you, you know, a little bit of your privilege and your ego in thinking that the white people are the only people that have differences. So
yeah,
I like those moments. Those yeah, little tongue in those little tongue in cheek. Hey,
yeah. Like, hey, and, pay attention over here.
Right. And yeah. Black Panther, you know, always feels like the best place to have those moments mm-hmm. because they are the whole show is based on a culture that is their own culture mm-hmm. and how they don't need, you know, the white man to come save them. They go to save the white man, you know? Yeah. And so I really feel that those kind of jokes fit into their end Guardians because Guardians, let's face it, is our jokester.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
the only thing, and this isn't a slight against it, but I was really wondering if Rocket or Groot would have shown up. I think it would have been awesome to see T'Challa and Groot interact.
Yeah, because, I mean, we never really got... Well, if they didn't pull Peter Quill,
mm-hmm.
and Gamora wasn't doing the argument thing,
mm-hmm.
then Groot and Rocket never would yep. have, you know, been able to capture Star-Lord.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's probably why they're not there, is because they can't find him right now mm-hmm. and they're still trying to find Star-Lord.
Right.
Or that the job doesn't exist. Because I forget who was the one who hired Rocket and Groot? Wasn't it Yondu?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. That makes sense now, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah,
It's been a while since I've seen those movies.
Yeah. So there wouldn't be a reason for them True. To have been in it. Same yeah. with Gamora, because we got Nebula.
Yep.
But we didn't get Gamora because Gamora was on that world and had her own family.
Yep. We get Nebula, we get Thanos, which is, that was creepy.
Oh my God. Bethany and I, when we were watching it, we were just like, what is going on? And I love how they were still like, nope, still genocide.
Yep. But efficient.
Still genocide.
Yep. Yeah, that's so funny. Let's see. One of my favorite moments in this was when...
But a Ravager never flies solo. I said, a Ravager never flies solo.
Is that some kind of catchphrase?
He says, a Ravager never travels alone, and nobody shows up. And then they're like, what is that, some kind of catchphrase?
Yeah.
Yondu's late to the party, like always.
Yeah. I will admit, I had one like quick scene and then like a favorite part. I love Howard the Duck. Yeah. Again, it's a child of the 80s thing.
Yep.
I was a kid when the movie came out. And for some reason, my family let me watch it when I was still in single digits.
Yep.
And I love that thing. Because it was also the same time as like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and all that, where they were coming out with the big, you know, latex plastic costumes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love those things. And I love Howard the Duck. You know, I can't tell you the plot of it anymore at all from my memory. But I remember, you know, just really loving it. And so I love that they brought that they're bringing Howard back in through the Guardians verse. And I'm really glad that he got to have a little bit of a bigger part in here, because we're never going to get another Howard the Duck movie. I really don't think we're ever going to get one, but to have him being like that, one of those characters that pops in and out, like, you know, Thor has Meek and Krag.
Mm-hmm.
So having that. And then I love the end where you have Yondu and T'Challa in the ship. And then there's Cosmo.
Looks like we got a stowaway.
You always did have a soft spot for runaways.
Look, T'Challa, I just wanted to say,
There's no need. I was the one who told you I wanted to see the world. All you did was show me the universe.
And it's like a boy and his dad and their dog. And it's,
Yeah, it's kind of like when Pizza Dog shows up in Hawkeye.
Oh, yeah. 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 I'm so happy that they actually actually cast a Lucky.
Yes, very, very cool. I love how the villains of this all, like, the Collector, which I haven't seen enough Benicio del Toro, did not even recognize his voice. I didn't find out until like 5 minutes before we started this that the Collector in this episode is voiced by Benicio del Toro.
Mm-hmm.
I like how they all assume, like when they're talking to Nebula, like, oh, well, you know, what's his plan? What's this? Oh, well, this was his plan all along. Like, you're just falling into it. Like, he's a genius and you're a dumbass.
Yeah. Which is true.
Well, yes, I mean.
And then, of course, Fanboy, you know, is like, mm-hmm. So it's a triple cost. This is so awesome. You're just mm-hmm. like, oh, man.
Classic Star-Lord.
Yes. Not going to lie, that would have been me. If I was Cat, if I was in that movie, that would have been my character.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I thought this episode was, like, I wasn't sure what they were going to do with it. And then when I watched it the first time, because I've watched it 3 times now. When I watched it the first time, I was like, oh, wow, they did this, this, and this, and this, and this, and they gave him a send-off that is befitting the character and the actor. That was awesome. And by the second run-through, I was like, oh, I noticed this, this, and this. And it's like, wow, they really are pulling they're not pulling their punches on this, but they're basically pulling the trigger on every little thing that they can. And again, because this is Marvel Studios What If, and it's, as we said last episode, and I'll probably say it in every episode that we do until the season ends, that they can do almost anything that they want as long as it fits within the movie universe kind of thing, or it would somehow tie back to, because it's an alternate reality. So good. So good.
Yeah. Now, T'Challa's actually in 3 more episodes coming up.
Is he really?
Yes. Chadwick filmed 4 episodes.
Okay.
But, you know, this is the big one.
This is his moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rest of them, he's going to be part of ensembles. So.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. Yeah, it's just one of those things where it just, you take the story that we all know and you flip it on its head and you craft something. And the fact that his family has been searching for him for all these, you know, for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I love at the end how he's like, oh, let's try sticky fingers. And Yondu's like, who's the glue? You are, because you lied to me.
Yes.
That's fair.
Yeah. And, and I also kind of, I also loved that when they were having dinner with, King T'Chaka,
mm-hmm.
How Yondu was going to kind of start to explain. you know, well, I kidnapped your kid.
Yeah.
And T'Challa just cut him off. He's just like, I was lost, you know? Yep. And you get that bond, that pulling in of his Ravagers into his family, with Wakanda, where they can be separate and they can be together.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all just one big family.
Yeah. And I was going to say something else and I cannot remember it now.
Oh no, I hate when that happens.
I know. Oh, so for me, one of the things I watch, and which I'm sure you're familiar with BAM, is that I look at a lot of the characterizations and how stories move along and keeping to their characters. So with this episode, I was paying attention to if they were going to give T'Challa more of Peter Quill's adult personality, or if he was going to be more of Black Panther T'Challa, even though it's a different set of circumstances in his life. And I like that you actually got a mix of both.
Yep.
The big thing that I really liked is that they kept some of the values that he has, you know, as a prince and also as, you know, a citizen of Wakanda, and how Wakandans treat each other in his life. So, you know, instead of, you know, taking jobs for you know, money, they're doing the Robin Hood thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you see them talk about, like, when they're telling the fan dude about all the different missions, and you just hear these pieces of, you know, philanthropy that they've done while they're technically criminals, you know, is just, it brings it into, almost into that whole legend.
Yeah.
Feel in the end, because you know that character has this legend where he gets fanboys. So in that alternate universe, you know, he's going to be remembered for all time.
Yeah. And the fact that he's going to the Collector to steal the embers of Genesis, which basically will cure world hunger or hunger anywhere.
Yeah.
That was awesome. I thought that was a really good thing that they put into this, because let's face it.
Yeah.
We're pretty hungry on this planet at times.
We're pretty hungry and we don't distribute our food well.
True. And I thought it was really cool how they used the embers to escape. I thought that was great. And, you know, it was a fun episode. It was well animated. The lighting, and man, those the space backgrounds were so good.
The animation in this series has just been amazing all around.
Yeah, we're only two episodes in out of the first nine. Yeah, out of the first nine.
Yeah.
Because episode 10 is going to be season 2, episode 1, as we said last time.
Yep.
What I noticed from, obviously, from the first episode to this episode, they're both well animated, but it's a slightly different style a little, because if they have to lend to what they're doing with the story.
Yeah. Like
Peggy's episode is basically World War II, Nazi Germany, all that kind of stuff. Whereas this is out in space. This is the Guardians of the Galaxy. This is Wakanda. This is all of that. And
completely different color schemes.
Mm-hmm.
And the score is much different.
It is. Sadly, I haven't been able to find it yet on Spotify. I don't know why it isn't out yet. Maybe, I don't know, whatever. Yeah, the music in this was so good.
Yeah. I love the tribal drums. I love world music because there's so many rhythms that are in different cultures that just sing to me. Right. And tribal drums and native flutes are like two of the big things for me. And so I really got into the Wakanda, the Black Panther score when that came out. So having this like almost sci-fi edge of the tribal drums, just it blew my mind, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, again, it was really, really cool.
Yeah.
And again, like you said earlier, the melding of the families, the melding of Wakanda on Earth, and the fact that he got to go across the whole universe and help people. And I think because of what this story is, because of how it is, and because of who T'Challa is, mm-hmm. if he hadn't joined the Ravagers, they would still be criminals in the worst way.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they didn't find Quill, they're still criminals either way.
Yeah. And Quill, they turned into a criminal, you know.
Yep.
Whereas T'Challa, yeah, he became a criminal, but he refocused why they did crime.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what was your favorite character moment?
No, it still goes back to that scene with King T'Chaka and, you know, and T'Challa interrupting Yondu before he starts talking about having kidnapped him, you know, and showing that bond there, you know, that. You know, you're my, you know, T'Chaka, you know, T'Chaka's my dad, you know, well, sorry, T'Chaka's my father, but this is also my dad. And it kind of had that beautiful mirroring from Guardians 2, where Yondu is like, you know, maybe your father, but he ain't your dad.
Yep.
You know, so I loved how it mirrored that. But in a different way, and in a way that Yondu doesn't die. So,
yeah, that's always a good thing. I mean, Michael Rooker is a national treasure, so there is that.
Oh my God. When I see him at cons, somebody made him a metal flat umbrella with the words, "I'm Mary Poppins, y'all."
I think I've seen a picture of that.
Oh my God. You know, he just carries that thing around, and I just look at him and I'm like, you are amazing and I love you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. For me, the favorite character moment for me is I agree with you. The scene with T'Chaka and the whole dinner and the two families meeting is great. I think that's awesome, but it also hurts me a little bit to know that in this universe it hurts me because he died in the other one. He died in the real one, and he's alive here. Yikes.
Yeah.
Talk about pulling at your heartstrings there.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, my favorite character moment is the one I mentioned earlier when at the very end where mm-hmm. they're, you know, go, you know, he's like, it's, you know, you have to decide where you want to be. You know, and T'Challa says, well, you showed me the universe, and they're staring out into space kind of thing. I think that's a really, really good moment.
Yeah.
Anything else you would like to bring up?
I love the technology changes.
Yeah, that was
like
good.
That little thing in the beginning that T'Challa has to pull the orb out, mm-hmm. and then how he was using it, like he slid it on the floor to be able to, shoot energy out, and just the versatility of like those little gadgets. And it, how advanced like Wakandan technology is, but he last was in Wakanda at the late 80s. And so he, you know, didn't see the advancement. So he's got all this technology in space, but he also has that intellect from Wakanda for the technology and what things can do. So it makes me wonder if that's something that he built himself or if that's just a piece of tech he picked up along the way.
Yeah.
Though we all know Shuri is the one who does all the tech work.
Absolutely.
So
I think all the questions that I asked last episode, basically all of them are, the answer is yes, 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 and yes, and yes.
Yeah.
So did the episode keep our interest throughout? Of course it did. How could it not?
Yeah.
Especially that ending.
Oh my gosh.
That ending, as I said already before, folks, there are spoilers here. The best and worst part of that ending is the Watcher coming in and saying, but that's a story for another time.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think what the crazy thing is that with all of these is that we're only getting snippets of these worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing such a great job, you know, giving us a story that we want more. We genuinely want more of each of these worlds so far.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I want all the fanfic of, you know, T'Challa and the Ravagers in their early days. I want all the fanfic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, please point it to me on AO3.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Once again, 0 to 5 with half points. What would you give this episode?
This one, honestly, I'm a 5.
I am too.
Yeah, I can't find anything that would take off even half a point.
No, there isn't a moment. There isn't a character line. There isn't. Now, my buddy Michael Wilson, who is not a fan of a certain actor, he might take a point off for Howard the Duck because it's voiced by Seth Green. He's not a Seth Green fan, but he's not here, so it doesn't matter. I was like, ooh, Howard. Okay, who's going to voice? Because I didn't look beforehand.
Yeah.
And then he spoke and I'm like, oh, okay. It's
Seth Green is who is playing Howard in the Guardians movies.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a few years since I've seen him, so.
Yeah.
Because when I did my last Marvel Cinematic Universe watch through, I did not watch the Guardians movies because I literally had like watched them a month before I started doing that. So I'm like, I remember all this stuff. It's okay.
I am due a rewatch of Phase 1.
I'm going to suggest to you right now you watch it in story order. And I have a list for you that lists the entire Infinity Saga of the films in chronological time order. So you start with First Avenger. Or no. Yeah, you start with First Avenger and then you go to Captain Marvel.
Yeah, but first of... Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But see, Captain Marvel's Phase 3.
It is, but if you're watching it in story order, it's 1940 whatever to 1995 to, so it's when it's in the universe when they take place kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you wanted to watch it that way, if you don't, you don't.
Can I tell you, Captain Marvel kind of bored me.
I think a lot of people felt that way about that movie.
Yeah.
I think one of the best things to come out of that was Monica.
Oh, yeah. Monica, that story, especially with WandaVision,
mm-hmm.
and seeing her evolve into Spectrum.
Yep, yeah, that's a very, that very cool character.
I want to know where that dang cat is. You know that cat ain't dead.
Yeah, no. No, that cat ain't dead at all.
No.
All right. I think we're going to take a short break. You're going to hear some ads from our other shows. I've been trying to do this in other episodes lately, and I've always forgotten. And when I get to the editing, I'm like, there's nowhere to break this up where I can put these ads in. So we'll be back after this with final words.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news. play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Well, I am shocked and dismayed.
Well, now you can't be both. You be shocked, I'll be dismayed.
Coming in 2016, Steve Megachon and myself, TF2 and Mike, bring you a brand new TV review show. Welcome to Podcaster Meets World. That's right, we're launching a Boy and Girl Meets World review podcast here on the GCRN. It'll take us 70 episodes of the podcast to review all 158 episodes of Boy Meets World. After that, we will tackle Girl Meets World. You can find Podcaster Meets World on GeekCastRadio.com and iTunes starting late summer, early fall, 2016. So come on and walk through the world with us.
I love the thing they call.
I know what we're doing today.
Okay, Michael, if we're going to tackle this podcast thing, we've got to do something really special. It has to be cool, daily, in audio form, and undetectable by radar. Something that screams summer. I know, let's do a Phineas and Ferb review podcast. We'll call it the Podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym, or PALCA for short. What do you think?
I think if we're not careful, Candace is going to bust us.
You can find PALCA on the GeekCast Radio Network, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and all of the other methods you find podcasts.
Okay, then. Carry on.
All right, folks, we're going to wrap it up here. What are your final thoughts, ma'am?
It's going to be very interesting seeing, because we've seen that there's this going to be this big team-up bit from the trailers. It's going to be very interesting to see how Captain Carter and T'Challa, you know, how they're going to handle each other, you know, and also, you know, seeing who else is going to be pulled into this. And it's just going to be this very weird group of Avengers. But at the same time, I'm kind of into it.
Yeah, I am too. And again, I don't think I need to necessarily go back and read the comics for this. Do I want to eventually read the What If comics? Yeah, sure. I'll check them out at some point. But with this being specific to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's a lot of fun. And it's a lot of, oh, wow, what if this happened? And, oh, wow, what if that happened? And
yeah. And you know, I kind of like that they're sticking with the MCU and the Infinity Saga. Mm-hmm. And not to make it clear what they consider the MCU.
Yep.
Because, you know, you have all the other movies from the different houses that are being revamped and such. So that's why we're not seeing things like, you know, X-Men and Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Is because their MCU movies have not come out yet.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's technically we have seen two X-Men in the MCU.
Yep.
Because that's, you know, Pietro and Wanda.
Yep.
Because as much as you want to say that, you know, because they got their powers here through the stones, you know, WandaVision started hinting that no, Wanda had the magical powers beforehand.
Yes, she did.
Wanda and Pietro started as villains in X-Men.
Yep, they did.
Before they joined Hawkeye for Cap's, you know, cookie quartet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With my boy. Yes,
absolutely. All right, Toonsters. As always, we want to thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter at GCRNToonCast and at ToonCastBeyond for the show. At GeekCastRadio is for the network. I am at TF2 and Mike. What is your Twitter?
It is at Ali Sky Richards, AliSkyRichards.
MOUSE. Become a friend on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also look for TuneCast, All Tunes All the Time over there, as well as the Superman and Lois tapes. We hope you Yay! Listen to that show, folks. It's amazing.
The show itself is amazing. And oh my God, Tyler Hoechlin's coming to Dragon Con.
Yay!
Bethany's going to have to put me on like a little kitty leash. Though I think I'm pretty much going to be like scared shitless of going to meet him, honestly, because, you know, if he's been hearing the podcast, I'm just like, dude, that's my podcast persona, not me. Me, shy person who love you.
Yes, exactly. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our spoiler-filled thoughts on Season 1, Episode 3 of Marvel Studios' What If. For now, I am TFQ and Mike with...
Allison Richards.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Oh, and unleash the tune in you.
Dun, dun.
Sorry, we're close.
What, Peter? Can't spare a little time for dear old dad?
Too bad this might spell the end of the world. But that's a story for another day.